and amen. So happy that you are, each and every one of you are here today. We thank the Lord for these wonderful musicians and this worship team by giving them a hand clap this morning and just thank God for them. And as Pastor Miner said, we're happy to see each and every one of you today. We know that it is a big vacation week. So we think vacation is good. We think it's good to get out and spend a little time with your families and take some time off. And we welcome those who have recently come back from vacation. It's nice to see you here. And we know that some of us are planning to leave within these next couple of days as well. And we always pray for traveling mercies as we get ready to also head out on vacation. We welcome Suma. Suma has undergone a few rough weeks there with some surgery, and it's with a shoulder surgery. It's nice to see you here this morning, Suma. Pray that the Lord would strengthen you and that you will be 100% real soon. Amen. And I know that we've had a couple of birthdays this week. I know that Nancy is her birthday this week. Yesterday, I think it was, right? Nancy, God bless you. Ishmael, your birthday, right? Yesterday as well. God bless you. Anybody else? Yesterday, today, tomorrow? Birthday? Anniversary? If not, man, happy birthday to Ishmael and Nancy, who both celebrate yesterday. It is beautiful to celebrate your life in Christ. And I just want to mention that we had an incredible week of ministry, and we honor Sister Aris and the whole Vacation Bible School ministry team. Some of you are sitting right here. Some are taking a break this morning because they were here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And they're taking a break this morning, which that's okay as well. And we had a wonderful week of ministry. We had over 100 kids that registered for Vacation Bible School. And it was a blessing. And they were taught all week long that Jesus rescues. So we know that that's going to stay in their hearts. I remember growing up, I went to VBS every year for many years, but there was one theme, and the theme was 10-4. So I'm going back a long time right now. It's probably in the late 70s. And after every statement, the children would say 10-4. Now, you guys know 10-4 is a walkie thing, you know, 10-4, 10-4, right? It's an old thing there. But that stood with me. And today, probably 40 years later, I'm still saying 10-4, right? I know that Jesus rescued has also resonated with our children. And in their hard times, they will remember Jesus rescues. In their time of fear, they will remember Jesus rescues. In their time when they have made bad choices, they will remember Jesus rescue. And the church says, amen. We want to greet our viewers viewing us this morning via Facebook Live. We pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you right where you are this morning. I'm going to invite you to stand and join with us in the teaching of the Word this morning. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. This morning we're going to speak on the theme, created with a purpose. Created with a purpose. Genesis chapter 2, we're going to start at verse 15. And we're going to go to the end of the chapter. Genesis chapter 2, starting at verse 15. Created with a purpose. We once again greet all the visitors, praying blessings for you this morning. Verse 15. The Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. The Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground of the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman out of the rib. he had taken out of the man, and he brought it to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." Father, we thank you for the teaching of your word. I pray, Lord God, that today your word would resonate within our hearts, that we would be reminded that we were created with a purpose, that you made us and formed us and placed us exactly where we are today for a purpose, that we will know, Lord God, that you are intentional in everything in life, oh God. In everything that you do, Lord, you do it for reasons, for purpose. And each and every one of us are created with a purpose. I pray, Lord God, that the teaching would resonate with us today, that it would stir something up within us, not to live our lives half and half or wishy-washy or sometimes good and sometimes bad, but that we would live with a commitment to know that we're not a mistake, that you are intentional in making us and intentional in placing us. And for that reason, we should live this life fully committed, fully submitted to you, Lord God, and ready to live the life that you've called us to live. I pray that the teaching would resonate with us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Created with a purpose. So in this teaching, I'm not talking about ministry. A lot of times we talk about purpose, people put that together with ministry, and we're like, we got purpose in life, ministry. Well, I'm not really talking about ministry. I'm talking about life in general. I'm talking about everything that God does, he does with a purpose, right? So in creating us, in placing us, God has been intentional. And he has given us life intentionally, and he has placed us where he has placed us because he wants to use us, to bless us. He wants us to be images of who he is, and God has created us for that reason. When we look at the Bible, we see something that's real interesting. We see genealogies, right? We're familiar with genealogies. Genealogies are found in Genesis chapter 4, 5, Genesis chapter 10 and 11, Luke chapter 3, and Matthew chapter 1. Those are all genealogies. And this person begot these amount of sons, and they begot these sons, and those were the sons of this person, and these are the sons of this person. And as if you look through those chapters, you'll see genealogy. Now, genealogy is not something that's read often in church because it's almost like, what can we get out of genealogy? But there is a lot of rich theology in genealogy. And when we look at it and we look how God has been intentional in placing genealogy in the Bible, it reminds us that God, he sees through all generations. It reminds us that God is a master planner. If you look at Matthew and Luke and you see how Jesus just came into the world, we'll see how God is a master planner, where even his words that says before creation, God already had a plan for us, right? We see the sovereignty of God. God knowing all things, seeing all things at one time. We see God's sovereignty. We see that God is also a finisher. What he starts, he completes. That he's completely trustworthy. That what God does, you can trust it. You can be sure that there's something good about it. There's a plan that God has. And we see this, and we can say that God is active in the lives of his people. And we can see that God's plans come are fulfilled, and God's promises are fulfilled, and we can trust God. And we see that God is a God that creates, and when he creates with purpose. He just doesn't do things just to do them. How many say amen? So when we look at Adam placed in the garden, we must be convinced that he created him with a purpose. God does not do things just to do them. We may not always understand what God is doing, but we know that God is sovereign and he knows exactly what he's doing with us and with time. The Bible says, for our thoughts are not the thoughts, neither of God, and neither are ways the thoughts or ways of God. We understand that God does things above us and we cannot comprehend them. But today I want to remind the church you who are here today, you who are viewing us via Ustream this morning or Facebook Live, I want to remind you that we also, you and I, have been created with a purpose. And God deals with us as individuals, just like he dealt with Adam in the Garden of Eden. I want to remind you today that you have been placed on this earth, just like Adam was placed in the Garden of Eden. You have been placed on this earth, that you've been created with a purpose, that God has a reason with your life. He is intentional with you and those around you. And this morning, looking at these verses that we have read, there's four points I want to share with you this morning, four truths that I want to share with you this morning. And the first one is knowing your purpose. Knowing your purpose. We're reminded that God has created us, and he created us with a purpose. God put Adam in the Garden of Eden, and he put him there, and he didn't say, well, go live and be merry. He put him there, and he didn't say, hey, go ahead, go enjoy. Bum out. He put him there, and he gave him work, he gave him responsibility, and he gave him purpose. In fact, we didn't read verse 5, but if you read verse 5, you'll see there that God intentionally does not bring growth to the ground yet because it hasn't rained, and the Bible says, because man is not there to cultivate it yet. In other words, he already knew that he would put man in the Garden of Eden, and it would be the job of man, Adam, to cultivate the land. He was put in the Garden of Eden, Adam, to care for it and work for it. He was also given the responsibility of naming the animals. In other words, God created Adam not just to walk the Garden of Eden and enjoy the presence of God, but God created him to work. God created him with a purpose. So it wasn't here you are, enjoy a perfect utopia. No, it was get ready, for I have a plan with you. Each and every one of us are created with a purpose. And I believe this. I believe that if you have prayed and you have sought God, and you are trying your best to live the life that God has called you to live, not perfect, because no one can be perfect, but you're trying your best to be faithful, you're trying your best to live the life that God has called you to live, then I believe that right now, today, you are in God's perfect will for your life. Now, if we live functioning through the sinful nature, if we function through deception, if we function through lying, if we function through selfishness or deceit, well, if we make decisions based on those things, then we cannot consider ourselves in God's perfect will in our lives, because we have let the sinful nature rule our decision making. But if we have really submitted our lives to the Lord, understanding that no one is perfect, but trying our best and praying and saying, God, open doors and close doors, lead me and guide me, help me, God, then we could be of the people that are sure that this very day, where you sit, where you worship, where you work, the person you are married to, the children that you have, you can be sure that today you are absolutely in the will of God, and God has placed you there. How many say amen? So that would encourage me to think, well, I'm trying my best. I'm not perfect, but Lord, lead me and guide me. And I'm not functioning through the sinful nature, but I'm really trying my best to bear the fruit of the Spirit. And that would encourage me to think, well, you know, my life is not perfect, and I battle with some things, but God has placed me here. This is where I am. So everything around us, everything around you, everything around me has purpose. God knew that we needed to be in this place, in this garden. He knew that we needed to be here, and he placed us here. So we should live this life and treat our circumstances knowing that God purposefully put us in this place. That means there's meaning and it is useful. That means there's meaning and it is useful. Oh, what we do in life has purpose, and I believe it's even everlasting. What we do is not just for today, but what we do impacts tomorrow and impacts the next generation. And if Jesus is to tarry, it will impact years to come. What we do and how we live our lives every day reminds us that we have purpose and it is everlasting. For Adam, it was to give names to the animals that lived on beyond his own life. I want to remind you here today, when we live our life and we live it intentionally, knowing that God is leading us and God is helping us, what we do impacts people, impacts things, and impacts even time. If we do things just for our own personal gain, just for the moment, I think we miss something. If we do it for our own selfish gain, I think that we miss the completion of the fulfillment of what God has put us in. But when we realize that God has intentionally put us here and everything that we do impacts others, it will help us to commit to the life that we have in holiness and righteousness, God-fearing like never before, because what we do impacts not just ourselves, but those around us. And the church says, I remember when I worked for the TA, I left the Transit Authority about 12 and a half years ago. And one of the supervisors, right before I left, he approached me and he said, "Why are you leaving this job? This is a good job. You've been here for 13 years, good benefits, et cetera, et cetera." And he says, why would you want to leave this job? And I foolishly, immaturely answered him, "Well, I want to do things that impact people. I want to do something with my life that impacts people." That was my immature answer at the moment. You know why? Because he taught me a lesson. He said to me, "Well, I believe that everything I do impacts people as well. Everything that we do impacts people. If we don't fix these train tracks, then people can't get to work. And if people can't get to work, then that will affect our city in completion. So everything that we do impacts people." And I left there being taught by him, saying, "He's right. And everything that you do in life, God has purposefully put you where you are because what you do impacts people." How many say amen? So God is intentional in where he puts us. So maybe today you're a police officer, right? Well, what you do is helping keep things safe, right? Maybe you work in retail. You know, well, if it's not for you, then we couldn't buy things that we need to buy. And maybe you're a teacher. If it's not for you, then how would we learn? Maybe you work in a hospital or in a medical field or in a medical office. And because of you, people are doing better and are finding health, right? Maybe you drive people around during the day. If not for you, well, somebody can get to where they need to get to. Maybe you work in construction. Maybe you work in maintenance. And the things that you do after you're gone is still visible to others. Maybe you're an administrator and because of you, things are kept in order. Maybe you work in a bakery and for that, I say thank you because I love bread, right? Everything that we do impacts others. Everything that we do impacts others. It has purpose because we've been created for purpose. And if we live our lives thinking that what I'm doing is not just for me, it's not just for the moment, it's not just for the check at the end of the week, but I'm living with this passion that I'm changing the world in which I live in. I'm changing those around me. This will give us insight into why the Apostle Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3:23, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters." So we are reminded today, it doesn't matter where we are, what we do. We should do it in a way understanding that we have been created with a purpose and God has intentionally placed us in the place that we are today, like he did for Adam thousands of years ago. So we're not called to be lazy. Each of us should work. Each of us should work at home in our jobs and our church and organizations. There should be something about our lives that is passionate and committed and that knowing that what we do multiplies and good things happen and people are changed. Why? Because as we do it, we show the image of Christ in everything that we do. And it's impactful. And I want to tell you today that if we're not of those that work and commit it and bring in change, whether outside our home and inside our home and inside our church. If we're not, then we're of those that get lost in foolish things of the world. We get lost in addictions. We start wasting our time. We start wasting our opportunities and we're placed in a place and we do nothing with it. When we understand this, it changes our mindset and helps us to commit to the purpose in which Christ has made us. And the church says, so we're talking about created with purpose. Our first point is knowing your purpose. Our second point is knowing in God's purpose, obedience is required, right? Every job has accountability. No one ever has free reign. God tells Adam, and the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and of evil, for when you eat of it, you will certainly die. So, Adam, in a perfect state, some would call it a utopia, in a perfect state, he's also given responsibilities and called to be obedient, accountability. So he sees even in his perfect, sinless state, Adam also has to give account to God. He shouldn't do whatever he wants. He couldn't do whatever he wants. He had rules and limitations that he needed to submit to. In these times, people want to live with no accountability. In these times, people want to do whatever they think is best. And because they think that they are know what's best for their lives, they find themselves lost, addicted, and lonely. Because they want to rule their lives with no accountability. But when you do things, and when you do things on your own, you end up alone. When you do things on your own, you end up alone because you think that you know best, and you find yourself by yourself. See, we are wired, innate in our sinful nature. We don't want accountability in our sinful nature. It is in our sinful nature where we're full of pride and arrogance. And there is a quest for independence within us. It is only when we come to know Christ that we realize that there is more to this than us. Only when we come to know Christ that we realize there's more to this than us. Thomas Paine said, anyone holding themselves accountable to nobody ought not to be trusted by anybody. I want to remind you here today that each and every one of us are called to be accountable within the life that we live. Everyone needs rules. Everyone needs someone to hold them accountable. We all need to know that we've been called to be obedient to God and the things that God has called us for. When no one holds us accountable, we end up spending our time and our energy on things that are just ruining our lives. When no one holds us accountable, we have no one to ask us how we're doing. We only find ourselves in ruin. I think people need to have people in their lives that ask them, how are you doing? How are you spending your time? How much time are you on social media? How much time are you watching TV? How much time are you playing games? How much time are you doing these negative things, but also positive things? How much time are you spending on your spiritual disciplines? How are you doing with building relationships in your life? Are you trying to spend more time with God? How are you using your money? Because sometimes we think, you know, we give God our tithe and the other 90% is completely ours. But God wants us to be responsible even with our 90%. And accountability is not about controlling anybody. People think that, oh, they just want to control me. No, it's not about controlling anybody. It's about helping us to stay on the right track. It's about helping us stay in the place that God has for us. So if I have somebody saying, if Pastor Minor approaches me in the morning and says, hey, Pastor, how you doing with your prayer life? And I'm not doing that good, it helps me think the next day, you know what? I got to get to the altar and pray. I may be irked for him with him for that moment, but because we really love Jesus and we know we need accountability, at that very moment I'll think, you know what? I've been slacking on this. When my wife asks me, "How you doing with your spiritual disciplines?" You know, I'm got to be transparent. I've been better, or I'm doing good. I'm not doing that good. But it wakes me up the next morning to think, man, I got to get on track with my spiritual disciplines. Why? So accountability is not to control, but it's to help us. Each and every one of us need people in our lives to help us.
We need people to help us stay on track. We need people to help us be reminded that if you leave us to ourselves, we are innate within us desiring independence, desiring pride. Our pride will rule over our lives, and that desires independence. And for that, we need people to say, hey, how you doing? If we have more people like that in our lives, it'll keep us obedient. It'll keep us right. We won't eat from the tree that we're not supposed to eat from, because there'll be somebody there reminding us that we shouldn't eat from that tree. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 14, verse 12, so then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. We will absolutely, like it or not, give an account to God one day for the way that we live, for the way that we treat others, for the way that we honor our homes and our marriages and our children, for the way that we have served in the church, for the life that we have lived. We will absolutely one day give God account for it. And the Bible tells us that we should be accountable to each other. The Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 16, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, because the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So there is this responsibility in Scripture to help each other and pray for each other and remind each other and keep each other accountable. For we know that iron sharpens iron. So today I want to remind you that we are created with a purpose, that we should know this purpose we're created for, and know that in the purpose of God, there is a demand, a requirement for obedience. And the church says, number three, God's purpose is accomplished through community. His purpose is accomplished through community. The Lord will always send help for the very thing that he has entrusted us. So he entrusted Adam with the work of the garden, but he saw that he on his own could not do it. So he sent him a helpmate that is suitable for him. Verse 18, the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. God knew what Adam needed. He needed Eve. She was his suitable helper. I want to remind you all that we're called for community. In God's purpose, we're not meant to be alone. The Lord will always send help for the very thing that he has entrusted us with, the very thing that you have been placed to do, the very garden you have been placed in, the life that you have been purposed for. You're not called to do it by yourself, but you're called to do it among community, and God will always send a perfect helper for you. That perfect helper will be your spouse. That perfect helper will be your children. That perfect helper will be good friends in your life. That perfect helper will be people in your family, and it'll be your church. And God will send people because God believes in community. How many say amen? Even when we think of the Father, when we think of God, we think of the triune God, the Trinity God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He does things in community. He created the heavens and earth all together, triune. Let us create. Let us make man in our own image. There is a clear sign that God does things in community. Jesus came to the earth as the Savior of the world. One man would save the whole world, but he drew us 12 disciples to him, understanding that he would need community as well. The Bible reminds us continually to love one another, to forgive one another, to be patient with one another. Why? Because we need each other. Because together we can, and we are called in this purpose. We are called to do it through community. Perhaps today you find yourself battling with some loneliness. I tell you that help is on the way. God has seen your need, and he is positioning you for a suitable helper. And our job is to open up our hearts and our minds and open up our lives and allow people in. And yes, some will let us down, but more will bless us. You know, yes, in this life, there is betrayal. There is hurt. Someone will talk about you. It's just life. And it doesn't even mean that they don't love you. It's the sinful nature that takes place at different times. I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty of saying things I shouldn't have said and doing things I shouldn't have done. I'm guilty of it myself. And it doesn't mean that I don't love it. It just means that I lost my moment for a second. So many also will hurt you, and they'll betray you. And it doesn't mean they don't love you. It means they've lost their moment for a second. Trust me, more people will bless us than hurt us. How many people we have heard of, I don't let nobody in because I want to tell you today that you're probably missing out on a whole lot of blessing because you're afraid of one or two that might hurt you. You see, within the purpose of God, we are called for community. And the church says, I tell you today, help is on the way. In God's purpose, you're called for community. I need to finish up our last point this morning. In God's purpose, we find his blessings. In God's purpose, we find his blessings. It is in God's purpose where we get to enjoy God's blessings. Many who are not living right or making bad choices are the ones complaining about God. Where is God? How come God hasn't blessed me? How come I don't have that home or that house or that job or that family? How come I don't have, you know, what others have, you know? And it's those who are making bad choices that my experience teaches me are complaining about God. Why? Because when you live in God's purpose, you find yourself with God's blessings. You find them. They come to you there in God's purpose. It was in the Garden of Eden. It was where God placed Adam that God brought him Eve. When he saw Eve, now if you read Genesis chapter 2, you'll see that the style of writing changes in verse 22 and 23. And that's because it's now a poem. It's a song. And when Adam sees Eve, now remember, this is a perfect state, sinless state. There's no clothes during this time. And when Adam sees Eve approach her, he begins to sing. Bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. He begins to sing. Why? What he saw, he liked. It was God's blessing for him. Where you have been created, purposed for, it's in that place where you will find God's blessing. If we live our own lives our own way, then all we're going to do is complain that God doesn't bless us, because God is looking to bless us, those who have submitted to the life that he has called us for. You know, so I want to encourage you to live the life that God has called you for, because it's in that life where you get to enjoy God's blessing. It's in that life where you get to sing flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. It's in that life where you get to see how God wanted to provide for you in the purpose in which he has created you for. See, the Bible teaches us that God wants to bless us and help us through life. Philippians chapter 4 verse 19 says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." And the church says, isn't that an awesome verse? "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." How about 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 8 says, "And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." These are verses that should be highlighted in our scripture that remind us that if we are living the life that God has called us to live, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. The psalmist knew it well when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I want to remind you here today that in God's purpose, you will find his blessings. God knows exactly what you need and what you want even before you needed it and before you even wanted it. I can tell you, I can illustrate this in our lives. Becky and I, 9 years ago, we were happy as a family of four. We thought we were good. We were projecting, when I'm 50 years old, she'll be 48. Rachel will be 20. Eden will be 22. Man, so much can happen at that stage in our lives. And then came Emma, and we didn't plan for Emma, and Emma came. And now, 10 years later, we have a number 3 family of 5. God knew what we needed and what we wanted even before we thought we needed it or before we thought we wanted it. Because in God's purpose, He blesses us. So I just want to encourage you this morning. Know that you've been created with a purpose. Know that God knows you and He has placed you in a place that is a blessing for you. Know this. So everything that you do, do it understanding that God has placed you in this garden. God has placed you in this life. So yes, whatever you do for a living, do it knowing that God has been purposeful in your life. Do it not for humans, not for bosses. You do it because you know you're doing it for the Lord. And live this life that way. Within this life, there is obedience. There is accountability. Don't just think that we have free reign. No, we will miss out on what God wants to do with us if we are rebellious. Know this and know that in this purpose, in this life, God has called us for community. If you are not attending church, then I encourage you to become a part of church, in this good community in church. It doesn't have to be this one. Find a good one and serve there. We would like it to be this one, though. But serve. Embrace those around you, knowing that God has brought them there for you to bless you and to help you. And it's in God's purpose where you will get to enjoy God's blessing. So as I conclude this morning, I remind you that your new life in Christ gives you this blessing, because now you have been born again. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. So this new life in Christ, this new birth in Christ is what places you in God's perfect garden for your life. This new life in Christ. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then today I tell you that you have been created with a purpose. You've been born again for God's perfect will for your life. And no matter where you are in your life, embrace it, knowing that God has placed you there. Start this new life with a purpose. So you're reminded today that you've been created with a purpose. And if you are here today and you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you're living a life of rebellion and selfishness, maybe you have backslidden, then you're missing out on your purpose. Then you live for the moment. You live for right now. You live for what you can get. And that leaves us lonely at night. That leaves us lonely the next day. But the Bible speaks about those who lie down in peace. Psalms 4:8. They trust God with their rest. Why? Because they know that they dwell in His perfect peace. I want to encourage you here today. If you are far from God, then you're missing out on all that God wants to do with you and through you. But today you can be born again in Christ Jesus. And you can be placed in the place that He has for you. And to the church, I remind you, live this life knowing that Christ saved you and purposed you. I'm going to invite you to stand as we get ready to close. If you have received Christ as your Savior, I hope that this teaching will remind you that you have been created for a purpose. Know it, live it, enjoy it. Because God has intentionally placed you where you are here today. Father, we thank you for the teaching of your word. For it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It leads us and guides us every single day, O Lord. So today, Father, we're reminded that we were created with a purpose. Let us know this. Let us know our purpose. That everything we do, Lord, you have intentionally allowed it in our lives. That we, Lord God, would be reminded that we're called to be obedient and accountable even in these times, O Lord. And that we shouldn't do it by ourselves. We need community in the midst of the life that you have ordained for us. And it's only in this life where we enjoy your blessings, O God. Father, I pray that you would help us to live the life that you have called us to live, to enjoy this new life in Christ, understanding that you have ordained this life for us, O Lord. And if there's someone here today that is far from you, living a rebellious life, that today would be the day of salvation, new birth for them, O God, where they can enjoy being placed also in the garden, placed in the place that you have for them, O Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you're here today and the Lord is speaking to you and you feel like, I want a prayer to help me apply this word to my life, as we sing this next song, the altar is open. We want to encourage you to come. We want to pray with you here at the altar. And if you are far from God, and you're saying, you know, I've tried to live my life my own way, and I haven't realized that God has been intentional with creating me, but I want to give my life to Christ. I want to do it right. I want Him to rule in my life. I understand that there'll still be some accountability there, but I got people around me that will help me, and it's there where God will bless me. If that's you today, don't leave like you have entered. As we sing this next song, the altar is open. We want to pray with you as well this morning. God bless you all.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.